Good afternoon, biscuit babies. Time for another episode of The Biscuit. Thanks for joining me. And I want to thank my sponsors for without them, this show would be possible, but it wouldn't be as fucking sweet. I want to thank the guys over at Hairless Ape Conspiracy, making the best t-shirts on the planet. And I want to thank them for their service, better known, better and operated. Literally the best shirt I've ever worn. HairlessApeInc.com. Use the promo code BISCUIT10. Save yourself 10% off. You're welcome. I want to thank Mr. Chad Lane over at Lucid Float Spas in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Has been a sponsor of the show from day one. Never falters. He's a good man, good buddy, and good at what he does. Go over, take a float, get a massage, do whatever you got to do. And I want to thank the Parkers. Scott the Sheriff Parker, Francesca Parker, and DJ Parker at parkersplatoon.org. Yeah, go check them out. They have a nonprofit organization helping one veteran at a time, and they also have teamed up with Riley Cote to release a CBD line at Bodycheck Wellness, CHEK.com. Go there. And they have different promo codes online, too. You'll have to follow all those guys on Instagram to get those. Today, we are wrapping up the Division series. We did the Metro with Big Ran. We did the Central with Gatekeeper of TheRink.com. We did the Atlantic with Farmer Rob, and today we are doing the Pacific with Stephen Bentley. Enjoy.
Now Probert, he's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nylon, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt!
It's old time, my game.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's The Biscuit. It's The Biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of one!
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country we'll stop working on so bad this fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's The Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man.
All right, Biscuit Babies, he's here. He ain't queer. Stephen Bentley, professional wrestler? Or are you amateur wrestler?
I'm just a fan at this point.
You're getting back in. I'll see you. And then and beer leaguer too.
Oh yeah, that's professional beer leaguer. If that exists, that would be one.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
The lowest of the lowest league. and in the federal league of beer leagues.
Hell yeah, man. Hey, yeah, thanks for coming on. I know it's like 2 a.m. in L.A. or whatever the fucking time difference is there. Well, we are here, Stephen, to cover the Pacific Division. I know you're a big Kings fan and newly Vegas fan, too. Do you spend time in both places quite frequently?
Yes. I would say we vacation because it's so close. It's like a three-hour drive with traffic to Vegas, so I'd say we're in Vegas at least once a month. So,
oh, nice.
We're always out there.
Hell yeah, that's like for the wife and I going to Flint. It's like 3.5 hours for. I mean, yeah. Obviously Flint's not like Vegas, but that's where we choose to vacation. So,
hey man, you know, whatever works for you guys.
Hey man, we're freaks like that, dude.
That's rad. Hey, that's cool, dude.
Now
I dig it.
Quick question before we get into the teams. Now, I know you've been to games in both the barns. Are they comparable with, and I know Vegas being in the league for only a year, but with all that success, it seems like, you know, with them being so ready to have a professional sports team, that they might be, as far as levels of fandom, pretty equal at this point.
Now, you know, Los Angeles is a much bigger city. Vegas, I don't know if you're familiar, if you've never driven out there, it's pretty much desert until you get to about city limits of Vegas. So there's only a few million people out there, but the people that are out there, the locals, I mean, we went out there in the middle of the summer, obviously, a few times, and you got people wearing nice hats, tattoos all over their hands, and I mean, it's absolutely absurd. You know, you hear a lot about Hockey Town, Detroit, I know you're Detroit, or your wife's a Detroit lady, man, I'll tell you, Vegas, if you could go back in time and see the people that said hockey wouldn't work in Vegas, I know it's the first year, I know they're really good, That town just embraced them. I mean, it is everywhere. The Knights are everywhere. It is absolutely insane. I envy it because here in LA, it's like, oh, cool. You know, every 100th car has a King sticker.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. Out there, everything, every car has a Knight sticker, license plate frame. It's insanity.
It was great for the league. I haven't been to Vegas since they've been a team. It's been a few years since I've been out there, but my buddy Flat Earth Mario was just out there last year, caught a Blue Jackets game, and he said anywhere you go is Knights shit. He's like, it's fucking it's everywhere. So that's good to hear that the city embraced, and it didn't hurt that they were so fucking good either. So we'll start with them because I mean, they fucking won the Pacific last year, inaugural season. They started off really good and just never looked back, and everybody kept saying they can't last all year. They can't last all year. 51-24-7, 109 fucking points for an inaugural team. Just pure insanity. A lot of the questions now will be, the questions last year were, how are these guys that were rejected from their teams going to do? They did quite well. But how will guys like Wild Bill continue on this year? And then you lose, real deal James Neal. Perron goes back to St. Louis. Nate Smith's shooting up steroids. Sabisa's gone. Tatar's gone, but I don't think that's as much of a big deal. And then Nick Suzuki, who is going to be a part of the future of this team until they did as well as they did last year. So that's not a huge deal either. But you bring in some firepower with fucking Pacioretty. Stats and he signs there, and then on the back end there, Nick Holden and Daniel Carr signing too. So they didn't get any worse, that's for damn sure.
No, they definitely improved. I was lucky enough to go see them on Thursday at Staples Center against the Kings, where they won 7-2.
Nice.
I'll tell you, I've watched hockey my whole life. I have never seen a team move the puck like Vegas. That was actually the first time I've seen them play since he became the Knights. I've been to that arena, but it was against the Kings home games in that arena, T-Mobile. They used to do preseason games out there. So that's actually my first time seeing the Knights in person. And that, it's a preseason game. You don't expect much. You have minor league guys, NHL guys. They had a lot of stars in there, and I will tell you, that is the most fun team I've seen in years. I mean, it's insane. Like, I know fourth line's going to hate that. He doesn't like the new style, obviously. If you don't like the rough style Pacific Division hockey, you're probably not going to like them other than Reeves. But I'll tell you, man, the biggest thing is the players are just having fun. They're being creative, lots of behind-the-back passes. Like, I compared it on Twitter. They're almost like the Harlem Globetrotters of the NHL. I've never seen a team move the puck like that. Like, seriously, it is a treat. If you get a chance to see them play in your town or if they're near you, I implore you to go watch them. I'm so impressed with that team. And Fleury wasn't even in goal. They had Donsk in goal.
Okay.
So, and he looked like he was a Vezina Trophy winner. That guy was a kid. You hear a lot, right? You hear that defense wins championships. Who does Vegas really have on the blue line that's a legit, blue chip defensive player? Who?
I mean, I would have said Theodore, but he's not even ready to go, is he?
No, he's still holding out.
So, I mean, yeah, you got no one.
You don't have, you hear the old adage, and I said it last year, you need two defensemen, two number one centers, and an elite goalie. They're doing it without elite defensemen. They don't have a Drew Dowd, a Brent Burns. They don't have a Carlson.
Right.
They're still making it happen. It's absurd. I know they say running gun is not going to work, but it's working.
Yeah.
It's working.
And as fancy and running gun as they are, they still, like you said, they have the Ryan Reeves factor too. So for as much as they do, they still have the baddest dude in the league on the team too. Just, maybe to equal it out a little bit. Because, I mean, for as much as fourth line voice will not like that style of play, he's quick to admit Ryan Reeves is the toughest dude in the league right now.
Absolutely. And I got to see Englund drop him with Clifford. It was a pretty short fight, but man, that place went nuts. And pretty good. We both got some good shots in there. So
now England mined his P's and Q's last year pretty tightly. I was kind of surprised, but maybe he'll get a little bit into it more this year if he's already going in preseason.
Yeah, I definitely can see that happening, especially the division rival like the Kings. I mean, it's no secret that they don't really like each other. So definitely wasn't too surprised to see the gloves dropped on Thursday.
I really, really hope at least once this year, hopefully twice, so you get to see Reeves and McDermott drop them together.
We'll get into that. You're not going to like that answer when we get to LA.
God
damn it. A little bit of a a tease there for you.
God damn you. second place last year, your favorite team, the Ducks, 44-25-13, 101. They added guys, but they, I mean, not more just like names onto the roster, with Carter Rowney, Luke Shane, Jared Crow, who, you know, struggled in Detroit, but they kind of threw him in the fire in the net out there. Like, hey, we need you to come play net. First game is against Pittsburgh. Enjoy that. Brian Gibbons, who's is a bad mother, and Ben Street and Anton Roden. But that, to me, that's not really anybody that's going to come in and help right away. And then Jared Bull retires. So this team is dead to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. As much as, you know, there's a dislike between Kings fans and Ducks fans, I really don't mind the Ducks. I think it's good for Southern California and hockey as a whole when both are doing well. It gets more casual fans in there, which I know we hate to say that. We hate the bandwagon fans, but, you know, if one of them turns into a hardcore diehard fan, that's fantastic.
It's worth it.
Their kids
get into it,
their kids are playing. So, you know, I do want the Ducks to do well, and I want the Goals to do well. The Goals are going to do well, like they do every year. Well, last year they weren't the greatest because their entire team got called up to Anaheim.
Yeah, they were so injured last year, dude. They couldn't keep anybody on skates.
Absolutely. And, you know, this year I don't know what they're doing.
No one does.
I mean, I get you can't move that contract for Getzlaff, which I think you can keep Getzlaff, but the Corey Perry contract is just, man, I mean, I understand at the time it was worth it, but now it's you can't
That's the crapshoot of it, you think? I mean, these guys, they deserve the money and then they get paid, but then it's like, if it doesn't pan out, you're like, well, fuck, we're stuck with like three more years of this $8 million, and we have Kessler and Perry and fucking Getzlaff. Like, we're just buried with guys that are, you know, on the wrong side of their careers.
Absolutely. If you're familiar with baseball, which I know many of the fans may not be, the Biscuit Babies may not be baseball.
Yeah, people, I'm a fucking American, Steven.
But the babies might not like it.
The babies might not. That's true.
But if you go back in the day to the Atlanta Braves, you know, 90s, 2000s, they were a dominant team.
Yeah, how dare you? I'm an Indians fan, you son of a bitch, dude. You like pushing my goddamn buttons, man.
But the perfect comparison is Andrew Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Jones was phenomenal until he got the big contract. And what did he do?
Disappeared completely.
Disappeared. I'm noticing more and more as we're getting these, you know, 8-year deals, 7-year deals, big money. They're really good until they sign that deal. Once that deal kicks in, because they're on easy street.
Yeah.
You know, and that's in all sports, but I'm really noticing it in hockey. I'm noticing, you know, it gets to a certain point, and, you know, you do hear some players like Dustin Brown for LA, for example. Again, I'm the Kings guy, so I know a lot about the behind the scenes with the Kings. So I may not know about the Ducks or, you know,
right,
the Knights. But, you know, Dustin Brown hired a personal trainer. I'm not saying that the guys didn't, but other guys didn't. But, again, you look at the Corey Perry deal. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing to improve yourself? I mean, okay, you've won a cup, but that was 11, 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So what exactly are you doing? You know, Anaheim, too, here's the problem. They have a lot of guys, their main guys, are on the wrong side of 30 or the wrong side of their contract.
Mm-hmm.
And you have guys that are on the ELC deals. You have guys like Montour. You have these guys that are phenomenal.
But I love Montour. I love Montour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But do they have the right guidance? Cache. You know, the guys from the goals team that get called up. You have a lot of guys in the room, but they've already won. Are they complacent? I don't know. You have Gibson. Gibson's a great goalie. Who's really there to help him?
Jared Crow now. That's not any help.
Right, and he's a great guy. He's a friend of a friend that played in the Cheese Toast with him in the ECHL. So, you know, I do know him. I know of him. I've heard really good things about him as a personal level. But, you know, who you know, I just don't know. I don't know what Anaheim's doing. I think they're 2 or 3 years away from a really big rebuild once the big contracts are out. And then once those guys are out and these goals players are at the prime age, then look out for the Ducks.
Yeah, I think you'll start to hear the ramblings this year of that, you know, the rebuild, because I this trying to stay successful with this team has got to catch up to them eventually. I mean, they really haven't they've just kind of tried to win with Getzlaff, Kessler, and Perry for, like you said, like a decade now. And it worked then, but I mean, now it's just nothing's going. And I just don't see them being able to continue the success. And I think they're going to take quite a bit of a hit this year, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for the organization to maybe take a dip this year and start to realize, okay, we got to fucking do something.
And, you know, the only unfortunate thing is the area they're in, Orange County, if you're not familiar with it, it is a very, very fickle town, very fickle area. And that there's no heat going towards that. You have your diehard 6,000-7,000 fans that are going to show up, and that's going to be it. If they're not good, that's going to be it.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, look at an Angels game. When the Angels are doing great, and when the season first starts, the stands are packed. And when you get to the middle of the end of the season and the Angels are out, there's about 10,000 people there. So well,
that's like when the Dodgers
cross the freeway.
That's like when the Dodgers make the playoffs. All the actresses buy their blue hats and go out to the games and shit.
I actually moved from San Diego up to the LA area now. And because I did this last year, I was in San Diego. And man, I will tell you, Dodgers. I'm a Padre fan. I know. Hate on me all day. But man, that you are 100% correct on that. There's a lot of diehard Dodger fans, but there's a lot of Dodger fans that
you can say it. Mexicans
tags are still on the jerseys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
My goodness, I did not notice that until I moved up here.
I think the most exciting thing for the Ducks is their third jersey this year. And besides that, it's kind of I don't think it will be business as usual. I think they'll kind of take a dip.
You know, I said something on Twitter the other day too, where it's like, you know, you look at the additions. LA got Kovalchuk. Vegas got Pacioretty. San Jose, they got Carlson. Anaheim, we got New Jersey.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm a younger guy. I remember the inaugural season of the Ducks like it was yesterday. I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
And those jerseys are really cool. I think they did a disservice using black. I don't know if you guys have noticed that yet. The jersey is not the purple eggplant color. It is black.
Oh, it
and
is?
I think when you're going to see it with the LED lighting at the Honda Center, it's going to look cool, but it's black. And I don't understand the new ownership. But, you know, the not Disney ownership.
That guy does not like the Mighty Ducks part of the past.
No.
At all.
Absolutely not. If they would have just taken the jersey as it was, I think it would have been 10 out of 10 home run. They should have never changed those jerseys. Keep the Wild Wing breaking out of the ice as a third. That jersey's hilarious.
That one's crazy.
I don't know. Well, I feel like it was a nod to the past, and they're trying to go to the future. But do we really need more black jerseys in the NHL? It's like, geez, how many?
Everyone's going to be wearing black.
All 31 teams have a black jersey. It feels like it.
Yeah, pretty damn near. It's a thing where they're getting so much feedback from fans, you know, nationwide that like the duck with the fucking the goalie mask on. That he's like, okay, we'll make it, but we're still going to use the black that I've gone with because we're the tough Ducks, not the Mighty Ducks.
Right. I get it, but we'll see when they play a game with them. We'll see, but I'm not a fan yet.
Yeah, I like the ones 2 years ago, the orange ones with the shield duck on it. Those were sick.
Yeah, those weren't bad. I mean, there's color. I like that. There's actually color in the league. It's a miracle.
Oh, you're either red, white, and blue, or fucking black. That's the whole league, dude. Moving on to the Sharks, 45-27-10 last year, 100 points. My favorite team in the West is the Sharks just because they're a shark. They have been just from being a kid, like, oh, they're the Sharks. That's badass. They have been on the precipice of getting that fucking cup for Jumbo. And they have to be a favorite out of the West. Just simply adding Erik Karlsson to the D, it makes them fucking nasty. That their D is their team. They have a solid fucking team. If Martin Jones can play half as well as he did or has in the past few years, this team will be very successful.
Definitely. Their goalie combination, with the exception of Los Angeles, I think they have the best 1-2 punch. Aaron Dell was actually their backup, if I'm not mistaken, and I seen him since he was in the ECHL of the Allen Americans. His positioning is fantastic. What can you say about Martin Jones that hasn't been said? That guy is phenomenal.
Yeah, he's really good.
You know, if you would have asked me, what was it, 2 weeks ago before Karlsson even went to San Jose, if you would have asked me then, hey, who's going to win the Pacific, I would say it's a toss-up between Vegas, San Jose, and L.A.
Yeah.
And that definitely didn't hurt their chances. You know, is their defense, the blue line, going to get better? But the offensive power that Karlsson brings, the creativity he brings, I mean – They're definitely a candidate for President's Trophy at this point. I mean, what don't they have?
Right.
If you want to talk about the adage I just said about the centers, defensemen, and goalies that Vegas doesn't have, San Jose has it. San Jose has everything. There's nothing I can say about San Jose. If they stay healthy, which is a big if in the NHL, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't be a cup contender. They are.
Yeah.
They are absolutely. I mean, you know, oh, Kings fans are going to jump down my throat in the air. Like, oh, I can't believe you're saying that about the Sharks. They're good. They're the best team I can think of in the NHL right now.
These guys know what it takes, too. I mean, they've all been there. Even Carlson took the Senators to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean.
Absolutely.
They know what it takes to win. They know what it takes all season to get there. I was sad to see Paul Martin go, but that's, you know, how she rolls with the league. But I think for everything with Carlson and Burns being, you know, offensive defensemen, I think Joe Pavelski is underrated as a defenseman on, you know, being a forward.
Absolutely.
I think you'll see him maybe get some, the Selke nominations maybe this year too, because he is a phenomenal defender when he needs to be. Even when he does, I mean, I love the way he plays hockey. I'm a big Pavelski fan. Big fan of this team, and I'd really love to see Joe Thornton hold that cup up. And they did all the right things to make that happen.
Definitely, you nailed the absolutely.
All right, now this is the Kings. I don't know a lot about these guys. There's not a lot of information on them besides, you know, they signed the Russian and Andreev leaves. I think. Quick and the decor in front of him, it's very hard to score on LA. I think last year what they gave up the least amount of goals.
Yes.
If you score two goals against the Kings, you're probably going to win. I mean, they don't give up fucking goals. They just never score either, though. That's the fucking problem.
Right. And, you know, there was a very publicized thing at the draft where they had a deal in place to get Pacioretty. And they decided Pacioretty couldn't get a contract signed in time. That's the rumor. I mean, it's pretty much confirmed. I can't, you know, obviously source and say that. They would have gave up a roster player and a prospect. And a lot of people would say, okay, well, why are you taking from this bank to get to this? Because it's 2018.
Yeah.
2019 season. Ilya Kovalchuk, when, you know, he was interested in coming here when he signed with the Devils in, 2010, I believe?
Yeah.
It would have been fine then. I don't think they won the cup. But it would have been fine then. It's just very – and I understand why they did it. They didn't give up any assets. They just gave up cap, which is huge with the Kings. They have some big contracts.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. The NHL is going towards speed. You look at San Jose, they got faster. You look at Vegas, they got faster. Those are the two teams, the cream of the crop that you need to keep up with. And you signed a 35-year-old guy. And I know he can skate. I've seen him in person twice now. He's got hands.
He has some fucking phenomenal hands, man.
He does. He has hands. But, I mean, Paul, the 47-year-old accountant in the beer league, has hands too, and he still can't skate. So, you know, I'm not comparing him to a 47-year-old out-of-shape beer leaguer. But you get what I'm saying. Okay, that's great. But you need to move the puck. You need to get going. And, you know, his speed is not there. And I know it's preseason. I know. It doesn't matter. I know he's been out of the league for 5 years. He's been in Russia, the bigger ice, yada, 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 yada. I just don't see him getting faster at 35 years old.
Now,
is what I'm saying.
Now, Big Ran thinks Kovalchuk's going to have a massive year, but he is hard for Russian players for whatever reason.
Now, here's a point on there for you. Last season, the first line left winger was Alex Iafallo. Not sure if you're familiar with him. He's a college free agent that signed last offseason.
I was just about to say who?
Yeah. He was the first line winger with Kopitar and Brown.
And how good is Kopitar? Good goddamn, dude.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
I'm glad that you guys are finally seeing what we've been seeing since his rookie year. That guy's phenomenal.
And dude, I was just about to say, I was cold on Kopitar until last season. I went, he made it undeniable. He goes, okay, well, I'm top five center in the league, period. There's no debate about it anymore. He's a fucking,
definitely.
He's a monster.
I will tell you that, and I love the guy, but Daryl Sutter definitely has some handcuffs on him and Brown. And if you don't believe me, look at the stats. Unbelievable. As far as I was making the point with Iafallo, he had 9 goals last season. 9. He played on a line with Kopitar and Brown. He had a lot of assists. I think 20-ish, 20 range, somewhere in there. Not a lot, but
right.
He had 9 goals. If Ilya Kovalchuk can get 20 goals, right there, you already have more goals. And you're making it happen from that line. Iafallo is going to drop down to the third line, probably with Lewis and Kempe. There's a question there. There's some rookies coming out of camp. Shelton and Rapallo's really good. Jordan Anderson Dolan's really good. Some junior kids from Canada. Gabe Vilardi was penciled in to be the third line center. He's having back issues. He's actually the prospect that Montreal wanted in the Pacioretty trade.
Now, Kempe is a guy I really like. I actually had him on my fantasy team last year, and he was silently putting up some pretty good goddamn numbers. So I think he'll take a step forward and continue playing. I thought he went really under the radar. You didn't hear too many people talk about his game. And I think you bring up a great point. If Kovalchuk can put up 20, 25 plus, there's no reason that this team can't win the Pacific.
Absolutely. And if you break it down to the nitty-gritty, if Carter can stay healthy, which I know he had the ankle injury, I think he took a skate to the Achilles tendon. If Carter can stay healthy, Kopitar's obviously healthy and at that pace, or even a little bit less than last season, then you're rolling three full lines right there with the young guys on the third line.
Yeah,
if you
man.
Can roll three lines, you can keep up with Vegas and San Jose's. Absolutely.
And I still think Jonathan Quick might be the best goalie in the league.
Absolutely. I highly agree with you. I have watched Cal Peterson now two different games in the preseason. We talked about him last season.
I love Cal Peterson, dude. I love him.
I live less than 10 minutes away from the Ontario Reigns home arena, so this is Business Bank Arena, and I have season tickets to the Ontario Reign. Nice. I got to see that guy all last season. He is a stud. My prediction, I think I said it last year, I'll say it again, in 3 years' time or less, he will take over for Quick.
Oh, and it's not going to be a bad transition at all. It's going to be like fucking Aaron Rodgers. Sorry for the football reference. It's going to be like Aaron Rodgers taking over for Brett Favre, man. It's going to be smooth, seamless. He's sitting there. He doesn't have any pressure on him. He knows the job's going to be his as long as he stays with it. The fucking guy wore a C in college at Notre Dame. So, I mean, not only is he a great goalie, but he's a great fucking teammate, great locker room guy. I mean, he's hanging in my garage right now. I look at his beautiful face every day when I'm out there. I'm huge, huge, huge Cal Peterson fan, and I look forward to the day that he is in the net there. But I'm also looking forward to seeing what Jonathan Quick can do with this rendition of the Kings. I've never been too high on the Kings. I'm always kind of shitting on them. Actually, I think this is going to be a big year for the Kings.
Absolutely. I think it's going to – a lot of people, like hopefully myself, I hope I'm proven wrong on the Kovalchuk thing. It's going to be a transition year too. Maybe the last year you see Dion Phaneuf, he's playing blue line, probably 5 or 6 D-man. He's been pairing up with Martinez. Interesting pairing.
I don't mind that pairing. That's a good pairing.
You're going to see Daniel Brickley. You're going to see Paul Ledoux, 7 and 8 defensemen. Probably both are going to make it out of camp over Oscar Fantenberg. So that leads us to my last point I would say for the Kings. Curtis McDermott, my favorite, your favorite, the Biscuit Baby's favorite, if they like hard-hitting Marty McSorley-esque defenseman. Yes, I just compared a player in 2018 to Marty McSorley.
Yeah, if you don't like him, turn off the podcast and punch yourself in the fucking dick.
Hey, he's the closest we've got by far.
Yeah, he plays fearless, dude.
It's insane. The problem is there's such a logjam on LA's blue line. He's 11th or 12th in line.
No, and see, I didn't think they were going to hold on to him. I was very shocked when they signed him. But you said that the ownership likes him, but they're going to like him enough to keep him at 13th and like not have him play or what?
Ownership and management absolutely loves the kid. They love what he brings to the table. He competes. He's humble. He's a sweetheart off the ice. Not on the ice, obviously. He's waiver eligible this season. You really got to figure out what you're going to do here.
See, now, I was surprised when they put him on. And I mean, there's no way he clears waivers.
No.
And the way he plays, I remember watching him in preseason last year, and we talked about this last year, is he caught my eye immediately because that style of play is, you know, intriguing to me, and I still enjoy it. I know we're in the minority there, but I went, who the fuck is that guy? Curtis McDermott. He's just wrecking fools and playing like he's fucking rock hard all the time, and he's not playing dirty either, but if shit needs to get taken care of, Curtis McDermott was there to do it.
Absolutely. If you happen to go to a game, Ontario versus San Diego in San Diego, do not wear a McDermott jersey. Those fans will try to kill you. They do not like him in San Diego. He is the least liked player in the American League, at least in the Pacific Division. That's for sure.
I forget who I watched him ragdoll in playoff or preseason last year. I think it was a guy for the Canucks, maybe. Who the fuck was it? I think it was an old Blue Jackets prospect that he ended up just destroying. I was like, oh my God. But they're going to have to figure out what to do with him.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, he's still in camp, at the main camp. They're playing in Salt Lake City tomorrow, Monday night. Does he get time? I mean, the problem is, again, his style, his defense is great, but it's the NHL in 2018, and, you know, you need these fast young guys, I guess. That's their philosophy. But then again, that's the only problem, and it's the same problem with the Ducks, it's the same problem with the Kings, is I feel like they have too many old big guys that are slow.
Make
up your mind.
I never mind a defenseman that plays defense.
Yeah, you know, I agree. If you're familiar with the Kings, Matt Green, I feel like he's a very similar player to Matt Green. It's something that I feel like you need, but I feel like the NHL is getting away from it. But then again, Vegas has England, and England is very similar too. So
yeah. Now, has he played any in the preseason so far?
Yes, he played on, I want to say, Tuesday. I saw both preseason games in L.A. this week just because they're the only NHL games that I can afford. Thanks, Gary.
yeah, no shit, dude.
So I can only go to preseason games pretty much unless a friend that season tickets can't go. And he's like, hey, dude, just buy me beers. I'm like, okay.
Dude, if I take the wife and two of my kids, I'm not paying my rent that month.
Exactly.
It's fucking crazy. My rent, mortgage, whatever the fuck it is. I hate it, man. It's rough. That's what I was telling Shane Guilfoyle with the History of Hockey podcast this year. You know, if Panarin and Bob end up not being back in Columbus next year and it goes back to the dark days, I told him, I was like, well, shit, maybe I'll be able to afford to go to a fucking game or two.
Totally.
And even that StubHub.
I used to be able to get StubHub tickets for $6, $10 and sneak down to the lower section at Kings games. I did it forever. And it's like the past 2 years, I can't do that.
Yeah, that's what you do at the Joe before, you know, they went to Little Caesars. You just go down and be like, hey, my legs are falling asleep in the seat, and you can go to standing room or whatever and sit and watch, stand there and watch the game from there.
Now, to the Biscuit Babies listening, if you want a pro tip here, you should already be double fisting your beers as it is. But if you double fist your beers and you walk down the stairs and the usher says, hey, where's your ticket? Be like, oh, it's in my pocket. And just keep walking.
Oh, dude.
10 out of 10 times that works.
That's brilliant.
10 out of 10 times.
And that'll
try it at your next ECHL game. I promise you it'll work.
That'll definitely. And if you're a Biscuit Baby and you're not double fisting at a hockey game, I would recommend you unsubscribe now.
I love it.
On to the Calgary Flames, my man. I'm a big Flames guy. I love the Flames. They had a rough go at it last year. 37, 35, 10, 84 points. You bring in James Neal, you bring in Lindholm, Noah Hanifin, Derek Ryan, you lose Dougie Hamilton, which I think might end up being a plus for the locker room. Michael Furlan might hurt a little bit. Johnny Gaudreau's been working his fucking little dick off this offseason. I'm a big Matt Tkachuk fan. It's a lot is riding on Mr. Smith there, and I just don't know how much you can ride on Mr. Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you just nailed everything about that I can say about the Flames. They really don't have too many guys in Stockton that I watch and I go, oh, that's the guy. So all their guys are on their main roster right now, which is fantastic. They're going to be faster. They're going to be a better team. I just don't think they're going to – I feel like there's going to be the top four teams which will get into the Pacific, and it'll be a drop-off. And I think Calgary is the first team of the drop-off.
Now, there's three guys in Stockton that I love, but I don't know how they'll translate into how the NHL is moving. One, Tyler Parsons, who won gold in the World Juniors for America a few years ago. I think he's the goalie of the future for Calgary. He's a badass. But he's not even really getting that much as far as looks go. Prosper, who they drafted this year, the kid that had over 200 PIMs and was kicked out of like 14 games. That speaks for itself. I love that guy. It's Martin Prosper. He is And he's playing at like Maritime College or some crazy shit where so he can't go to jail for destroying kids. And Healy, who played at Ohio State, who led the college in hits that year, also had a few suspensions because college hockey, you can't really touch anybody. But Healy's a bad motherfucker. I would love to see him play, but I don't know. He kind of calmed it down a little bit last year. I think maybe because he knows that's not going to get him into the league. But those are three guys I do like that play in Stockton. But besides that, you're right. They don't have – if this rendition of the Flames doesn't make it, I don't know what they're going to do.
Right. And, it's going to take time. From what I remember reading last season, they're even talking about relocating if they can't get an arena, right?
That's crazy.
It blows my mind. Calgary is a great hockey town. Great fans. They deserve better. Yeah. There's not much I can really say about them. I mean, they're a bubble team. They're a cusp team. They improved, but they improved from what they were last season, which was terrible.
Right, exactly. Speaking of terrible, Edmonton Oilers, 36-40.
Oh, my.
78 points. Did nothing but pay Connor McDavid. I mean, if you look at who they added, Kyle Brodziak, and that's it. I mean, Tobias Reeder, but
Tobias Reeder played in L.A. last season, and for as good as he was, he makes way too much money.
I don't know what – I mean, and you're hoping that Cam Talbot continues, has a bounce-back season. I mean, Connor McDavid will get his. He'll, be top three in scoring. That's fine, but I think they got worse.
I'm a big Milan guy. I love Luch. Punched me in the face at a Metallica concert last summer.
That nice.
Was probably a highlight of my life.
Nice.
Other than them, I mean, who do they have on defense in that goal?
Darnell Nurse, who just signed for money, so he might be fucking going, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I can't say really anything about them because they got worse.
They really got worse. I'm shocked. They got worse and you have the best player, besides Sidney Crosby in the league.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I don't understand what they're doing.
I don't either. Obviously he's there for the next decade, but you're just going to tank for this year to get Jack Hughes? I mean, that's not going to make you that much better.
Right.
So I'm really shocked and disappointed at Edmonton and whatever the fuck they think is going to happen. I mean, you're hoping that you're hoping a lot on these guys that didn't have good seasons last year. Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins were practically invisible.
Definitely.
So yeah, they got worse. Not a good time to be an Oilers fan unless you just like McDavid.
And again, watching the rain frequently out here, they don't have anyone in Bakersfield. No one is stepping up in Bakersfield. So what are they doing?
I don't know. And I don't think a lot of their fans are hopeful either.
Why would you be?
No.
If you were an Oilers fan, I mean, what do you have to look forward to?
I'm not hopeful and I'm not an Oilers fan. I'm going, what the fuck? I talked to Scorgie a couple weeks ago and he goes, I don't know. He's like, I guess.
It just blows my mind. And again, we're talking, it's funny. I just realized this as we're talking more and more. The top teams in the Pacific improved.
Yeah.
The bottom teams in the Pacific got new jerseys. Seriously, think about it. Edmonton got a cool new jersey.
Flames got a really sick one.
The Ducks got a really cool jersey. The Coyotes got a cool jersey. Vancouver got a cool jersey.
Yeah. I guess they're just hoping for sweater sales.
I guess. Whose name are you going to put on the back?
Custom ones, dude. Just get Biscuit Baby on the back, dude. Biscuit Baby 69. Yep.
Oh, my God.
You know it, dude. That's perfect, dude. What number am I thinking of? 69. My son last night goes, "Hey, Dad, can we watch Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?" And I said, absolutely we can, my man. 8 years old. I was like, I've never been so proud of you.
That's phenomenal.
On to the Canucks. 31-40-11, 73. The Twins leave. They've got some young guys. I love Brock Besser, American. Elias Pettersson. People are all of a sudden really hot on that guy. Gaudette, who won the Hobie Baker last year. I hope he makes the squad this year just because, why not? Just let him see what he can do. You bring in Antoine Roussel. He's just more of an agitator. I think he lost a lot of his plus side. And then Flat Earth Mattia's favorite player, Jay Beagle. It's going to be another year for Vancouver. I wish them the best of luck. You got to get a goalie and keep these young guys, keep Besser happy and put some guys around him and just try to move forward. I think it's good that the Twins retired so this team can move on.
They should have done that 5 years ago.
Yes, they should have. They really put the Canucks in a hard place.
Yep, they should have. They should have asked for a trade or retired then. I get why they want to keep going. They wanted to keep going. They're competitors. They're old school guys. But that really hurt the Canucks really badly.
They buried them.
Thatcher Demko, I hope he becomes the number one guy in Vancouver. San Diego guy. Played for Boston College. Kid's the real deal. True story, I actually went top shelf on him once in a pickup.
I'm calling bullshit, Bentley.
I wish I had video. It was the coolest, probably the coolest moment of my life besides getting engaged.
Hell yeah, man. Well, that's a really sweet thing, too. What a sweet boy. Now my wife's going to hear this and go, why the fuck don't you say shit like that?
Sorry, bud.
Oh, and I meant to tell Oilers fans, the best thing you can do is go to Goodwill right now, buy a thing called a VCR, and then order yourself 1980s tapes of the Edmonton Oilers and just watch those this year.
Hey, the Canucks fans can do that and do that with the 1994 team.
Yeah, man. Or what was it, 0-10 or 11, and go up into the Stanley Cup and then get rid of that tape.
Yes, absolutely. man, I mean, is Pedersen kid TSN? I was reading actually this morning. It says, Eli Pedersen, the next Pavel Bure?
Bro, they are slobbing on this kid's knob, dude.
Come on.
Like, what? He hasn't done anything.
No, and if you look him up on the internet, Google him, he weighs 168 pounds.
That's
do you
me
really and... expect a 168-pound center to do well in the Pacific Division of the NHL?
I weighed 168 pounds in 7th grade, dude.
Like, he tells me it's 5th.
It's, I mean, yeah, you got to hype shit up, and I guess he's done. I haven't watched him in preseason, but they're saying he's doing well, but I can't imagine that's going to – it hasn't translated yet. I even saw something on YouTube where it was like, if they redid the 2017 draft or whatever, Pedersen would be the number one pick or some crazy shit. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I think I'm on the same boat as you. I don't know. I'd rather have someone that even weighed 170 pounds. Like, I mean, that's so small.
Yeah.
But
I don't get it.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm pessimistic about that.
To my friends in Vancouver, it's going to be Brock, 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 Brock all season.
Fuck yeah.
Buy those jerseys because they're sweet and send me ketchup chips.
Hell yeah. I wish I could have kept somebody in a fucking fantasy league because I would have kept Besser for sure. I had like 6 rookies on my squad last year and they all – I had McAvoy, Besser, Clayton Keller – and some other fools, and like, because you could draft them so low, as long as you pay attention to prospects, and like, I mean, some of them are going to be good, and if they're not, just fucking drop them before the break, because after the break, rookies will die. But I mean, fuck yeah, Brock Besser's a bad mother. And if you've seen him on the off season this year, he's just been working his dick off. His shot's gotten better. He's having fun. He's got a year under his belt. Yeah, he's going to have to do a lot more than last year, but not really. Not I wouldn't say a lot because he was kind of their only shit last year.
Totally, and there's no expectations because I think ownership and the fans know they're going to be terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So go out and have fun.
Yeah, and then get traded to an American team.
Yeah, like LA. I wish.
Oh, God, it'd be sick, dude. Him and Kopitar?
Oh, my God. For Kovalchuk. Book it now, E5.
And bottom of the barrel, started off so fucking bad they could never fix themselves. I know Tocchet said he kind of changed his whole coaching approach after that terrible start. They finished the year pretty good, 29, 41, and 12, 70 points. The ever terrible Arizona Coyotes. They do bring in Galchenyuk, which is going to help. It's not going to hurt. I don't know. I think the Coyotes will be, I think they'll be better. I really do.
Do you remember what I said last season? Randomly, we were doing an LA only preview. Do you remember what I said?
Yeah.
I said, what did I say about the Coyotes? They were a bubble team, and if they got it together, they would make the playoffs. Remember I said that?
I picked them to be in the playoffs last year, and everybody called me a dickhead, and then they made me look like a dickhead.
I would pick them again this year. We'll get into that in a minute, but man, the way Talkie coached, the way that these guys are, I mean, it's coming together. It's been a long, long, long off season. They're forever terrible. Even when they're the Phoenix Coyotes, I mean, for a handful of seasons, they were great, but they've been forever terrible. But there's just something about this team. You watch the Tucson guys. I saw them on Tuesday at Staples Center Live. It was mostly Tucson guys, but man, they were moving the puck. They were having fun. I mean, they're phenomenal. They're going to be really good.
And if Ranta can do as well as he did that second half of the season, they'll be hard to beat.
Absolutely, and then Darcy Kemper as his backup, that's solid.
Oh, you can't hate on that. You can't hate that.
That's a very solid 1-2 punch. That's right up there with San Jose and LA.
Absolutely. Kemper's been nothing but a solid backup since he's been in.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the time has come. We're going to start at the bottom. We're going to go to the top. Give me your 8th place finisher.
I love your town so much. I love it, but Vancouver... If there was a 9th place, you'd be a 9th. If there was a 10th, you'd be a 10th. If there was, you might finish 32nd this season.
You might
get relegated to the AHL.
It's
going to be that bad.
I agree. Canucks are in for a rough one. I have them at 8th as well. Who you got at 7th?
This is where it starts getting tough because...
It's tricky. The league's tricky, man.
And I'm sorry. I don't want people to think I hate Canada. If I could live there, I would. Edmonton, they're going to be horrible.
I'm exactly the same. I even contemplated them being worse than the Canucks. But then I went, well, Connor McDavid, so I put him in 7th.
Exactly. It's the Connor show up there. So Connor's definitely going to help them, but not much. And I love Nurse, but again, with Edmonton, it's what are you doing, guys? You're 7th. And I even put in my – I made little notes, just a little cheat sheet. I put 7th, maybe 8th.
Yeah, yeah. So. Now, I'll give you my 6th, and this one might be a shocker for people, but I think the Anaheim Ducks will be finishing 6th in the Pacific this season.
I'm flip-flopping my 4 and 6. I have Anaheim and Arizona at 4 and 6. They're both in pencil. I really can't tell you.
I have scratches from 3rd to 5th, just like, well, maybe, no, yeah, And I could be dead wrong about the Ducks. They could finish 3rd. I mean, they really could.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't either. So who do you have at 6th?
I'm going to go officially at 6th. I'm going to go Anaheim. You're right.
I think so. I think it's going to be a rough one for them. Who you got at 5th, Steven?
I have Calgary. Calgary's in 5th for me.
I do too. I do too.
Yeah, I mean, I just the way that's shaping up, they're going to be okay. There's going to be a learning curve this season, but Calgary at 5th.
And I had Calgary at 3rd until we started this podcast, and as we kept talking, that's how much they dropped for me as I started talking about their team.
Right.
4th place, do you have Arizona?
I have 4th Arizona.
Me too, buddy. Holy shit.
Wow. Oh, we might actually finish this 8 for 8, huh?
It could be. 3rd, I have Vegas Golden Knights.
That's where you and I are disagreeing. I have Los Angeles at 3rd. I don't think they have what it takes to be the number 1 or number 2 team. I will tell you this. 1 through 3 are interchangeable. I just don't see LA having the speed.
And
I think LA is too slow and too old. But it's maybe close.
And I changed this right before we started the podcast. I had Vegas at 1st until... about an hour before the restarted podcast, and I was like, and changed it real quick. So I put Vegas in 3rd. 2nd, I have the Sharks of San Jose, sir.
As do I, myself included. And again, 1 through 3, you could literally throw a dart, but my gut tells me San Jose at 2.
I don't think San Jose wants to finish at number 1.
No.
If that makes sense.
If that happens and you have to play a hungry Arizona team, that's tough.
Yeah. And number 1, I have your LA Kings finishing. I think they're going to be good this year. I think they're going to win the Pacific. And that's just what I think. I really think that Kopitar, Quick, Doughty, and these guys are going to not give up many goals and score the ones they need to win the Pacific this year. And I think they're going to take back some of those rivalries this year and actually fucking win some of them.
Oh, I think so, too. My only problem with L.A. is the goal scoring. There's the issue since forever.
It's rough.
But especially since 2010 on, where they can't score goals, and you have an option to get a guy who can put 30, 35-plus in your net, and you get the old guy from Russia. That's not 35. Again, I'm very critical about that. I don't like that move. I've said it multiple times, I think, already today. I don't care for that move. I hope I'm proven wrong. But I don't like Kovalchuk in L.A., and I like Vegas. Vegas is – I thought they would be 1-2 flip-flopping with San Jose. I've seen San Jose a trillion times in my life, especially recently. Man, when you go see Vegas live, there's just something about them. And it's preseason. I can't believe, like, I'm letting my feelings get in the way of a preseason game. But, man, their system is just – the way they get the puck out of the zone, I've never seen – it's like watching a roller hockey game.
Does anybody not like Vegas?
There's a lot of traditional fans I see on Twitter that don't like them because their fans are annoying. They don't know what's going on. I'm sorry. Most fan bases are annoying and don't know what's going on.
Yeah, of course.
I've seen Detroit fans in LA that the next week they're wearing Canucks jerseys. The 2 months later, they're, you know what I mean? It's just because the fans don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say. There's a lot of Kings fans I'm seeing on Twitter don't like the Vegas fans that come and invade here, and it's like, well, then be louder than them.
Yeah, buy the tickets and fucking, you know, I don't want
to stop selling your tickets on StubHub. Come to the games, be louder than them, stop complaining.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want it to turn into a Dodgers game where you get beat up for wearing a different shirt there or something, but, you know, yeah, like you said, don't sell your tickets and fucking show up.
Right. And to make that last point you just said, man, I'm starting to notice up in the upper section, Kings fans, y'all got to chill out, man.
It's
getting kind of scary. As a Kings fan, I'm kind of worried, you know? So
you hear that about L.A. teams for some reason, that it's, like, almost dangerous to go. And the one place on the planet where it shouldn't be – you should be able to go. Everybody knows that there's two sides, and you should be able – now, I'm not saying go to a home game as an away fan and be a dickhead, but you should be able to go there and clap when your team scores. I mean, I've been to a few Red Wings games. And I wasn't fucking like, I didn't have a sign that said fuck Detroit or anything like that, but I was decked out in Blue Jacket shit, and I, you know, gave a couple woos when we scored. It probably helped that they lost when I was there, but it's, people go, like, people save for a year to go to that fucking game. A lot of people can't afford these fucking games. Just don't be a dick.
Right. Cheer for the game that's on the ice. Don't heckle the guy for wearing the other team's jersey. I'm a big proponent of that. I see that a lot. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you can throw a big, like, hey, fuck you, or, you know, but with a fucking smile on your face.
Right. Buy the guy a beer after the game or something. You know, that's how it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to be getting violent in the stands. That's just, that blows my mind.
Dude.
I'm very fortunate to be able to travel to some games, Arizona, San Jose. Obviously, Anaheim's 20 minutes from where I am right now. Most of the Pacific Division teams, good of the Canadian ones I've seen. Dallas and Colorado coming soon. But, you know, I've traveled enough to go see games on the road, and, man, San Jose is a little rough, but it's not like I thought I was going to get beat up. Just got to chill out, guys.
You're going to a Dallas game this year?
Marijuana's – I want to.
Dude, you should.
Cannabis is legal in California, Kings fans. Smoke a joint before you go to the game. Chill out.
Yeah, just take it easy, man. And with Barstool now, you see all these fans fighting in the crowd. You're just like, fuck me, dude. Like, and there's kids at games, too. Like, it's just...
Right.
Leave the violence for the dudes on the ice.
I will say, did you see the Barstool fight with the Browns fans on Thursday and the Jets fan?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That dude got punched in the nuts. Oh, man.
Dude, that's like fighting my older brother, man. He'll tell you right now. I mean, he's grabbed my nuts and squeezed before. He said, listen, when it comes to fisticuffs, I'm either winning or losing. And that's that's how he fucking plays, dude. He's bitten my back of my shoulder so bad that people thought, like, I had a fucking tumor because of the weld it left, dude. It's a tumor.
Oh, my God.
It's a tumor. Steven, thank you so much for coming on, man. This is a blast. I always enjoy having you on, dude.
Definitely. I really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Are you officially married now, or are you still in fiancé or whatever they call it?
Fiancé. She's still my fiancé until November. We're getting married in Vegas in November.
So. Well, congratulations, man. That's really awesome. I'm excited for you. The best thing I ever did was get married. I'm sure that you know that too, or you wouldn't be asking the lady to marry you. So
totally.
Congratulations,
I'm very
man.
Lucky, man. Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Give me you know, have some kids, send them my way, dude. I got plenty of room.
Sounds good.
we're on three, expecting four here coming up, dude. It's gonna be a full house. I'm hoping one of them's good at hockey, and I can just fucking call it, shut it down, dude.
Just live off the kid.
Just fucking shut it down. Like, dude, you lived rent-free for 18 years. I'm shutting this fucker down, dude.
Just don't Jack Johnson the poor kid.
Oh, God. How dare you?
I'm sorry. Minus forever.
All right, Steven, you have a good day, man. Send my best to your fiance, man. Be safe out there. And like he said, don't be a dick at games, guys. Fuck.
Yes. And smoke some cannabis.
I can't anymore, dude. I have seizures.
That helps it.
That's what they say, but it didn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking... wait.
Get some of that Riley Cote CBD oil. You'll be fine.
I do, and it's I do it every... Marijuana's the white stuff you smoke in the metal pipe, right?
You shoot it up your arm. Right?
You're a beauty, dude. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, see ya. Ah, fuck yeah, I love Steven, man. That was a blast. Go check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Follow us on Twitter. Tell your friends about it. Rate and review us, please. It really does help. That's the way iTunes runs their shit. Their algorithms go off of how many reviews they are and how many stars there are. It takes 2 seconds. Just log into your iTunes and just leave me a 5 stars and just put best podcast ever. That's all you have to put in there. You can put this podcast sucks, but just give it 5 stars. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Love you. How many fucks do I give?